Okay, so the Gemara says that it is mutter to put a mat on top of a beehive, a kaveres, to protect it, as long as you're not miskaven for tzeda. So the Gemara says, this is like Reb Shimon, who says Dav Shem miskaven is mutter. And the Gemara says, no, it could even be according to Reb Yehuda. It doesn't mean, it means uvovat shol yasena mitzuda. In other words, you leave a big space for the bees to leave, and therefore it's mutter even alibud Reb Yehuda. But the Havamina sounds like it's mutter according to Reb Shimon, even though there's no hole whatsoever. So the Rishonim ask, Tysus asks, how could that be? Should be aser because it's a psik resha? So Tosos answers, and this is also the answer of the Mordechai in Siman Shin Yud Zayin, that even in a Hava Mina, there must have been a little bit of a hole that the animal could have escaped through. And this is also in Tosos, as I said, in Be'elam and Vavam Abeis, little tiny hole. And therefore, it's Tali Namachlokas Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Yehuda, it's Aser, because it's Dav Shem Miskafein. According to Reb Shimon, it's mutter, because since the animal could have escaped, and you're not miskaven for tzeda, and it's not a psikresha, so therefore it's mutter. So according to what emerges from the sugya, then if you follow the opinion of the Mordechai and Tosfos and the like, is that we follow the normal rules of psikresha even by tzeda. And according to Reb Shimon, it's going to be aser to close off this kaveris, even though you're not mechavim l'tzedef, in fact, it's a psikresha. But the Tur disagrees. The Tur seems to assume that we could read the Gemara Kepshuto, and that it's mutter if it's a davar shenem eskavein, even though it's not a psikresha. Sorry, even though it is a psikresha, it's still mutter because of davar shenem eskavein. So now the question is, how could that be? What happened to Tysus's question? What happened to Mordechai's question? Why would it be mutter if it's psikresha? L'maisa moder b'shimen b'psikresha. So one possibility, which we'll return to shortly, is maybe we're makel for psikresha and tzeda. Now this brings us to the famous Rashba, and we'll wait for the Rashba till a little bit later. But maybe, if you understand that the Rashba is matir psikresha by pseida, so then kol shekein, this is going to be matir. The Rashba is matir it, even when you're also mechavein for tzeda, just not your only intent. Here, you're not mechavein at all, and it's a psikresha and it's matir. So we're going to wait on this possibility, but now let's note it. Maybe the pshat in the Tor is if he holds like the Rashba, then even though it's a psikresha, it's matir by tzeda for some reason, which we'll need to explain later. But the Beis Yosef gives another possibility. The Beis Yosef is really a second approach, says that the pshat is that the machlokes between the Tur and the Sefer Truma is whether or not there's a din of psikresha for Nisud Rabbanan. This is more famously known as the machlokes between the Truma Sadeshen and the Magen Avram. Truma Sadeshen, Simon Samach Dalet, holds there's no psikresha for Yisurim D'Rabbanan. The Magen Avram, Shin Yod Dalet, Ches, disagrees. And the Beis Yosef says, well, actually, maybe that's the machlokas over here between the Tur and the Sefer Truma. I'll read you the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. Dad kanlo asar Rebbe Shimon lefros machatzelas ala kaveres bepsik resha el bedvorim shebeminan nitzod aval zvuvim she'en beminan nitzod kol she'en miskavin shari avalad bepsik resha. In other words, in Hachinami, what the Gemara was talking about, well, the Gemara was talking about bees. And for bees, there is a concern for psikresha. If it's a psikresha, it's aser. Well, what is the Tur being matir? The Tur is matir flies. In other words, the case of the Tur and the case of the Gemara are the same with one difference. The Gemara is talking about bees. Bees are nisur deraisa, yesh b'mina nitzod. Flies are nisur derabanan, ein b'mina nitzod. So if you cover up the flies, even though it's a psikresha, it's going to be mutter because it's a psik reishin and nisar derabanan. Now, for this answer to work, the Beis Yosef has to say that there's an iser d'oraisa of tzeda of bees. So why would you say it's aser midoraisa? Why would you say it's aser midrabanan? Clearly, the Beis Yosef is telling us it's not so pashat. So the tzad to say it's aser midoraisa is because people want to trap bees in order to make honey. To create a hive, you need bees. And therefore, yesh b'minan nitzod. What's the tzad to say ein b'minan nitzod? The tzad to say ein b'minan nitzod is because for the hive to work effectively, you don't actually want the bees to be trapped inside the hive, because what happens is that the bees need to leave the hive and go and pollinate the flowers and get their pollen and bring it back to make honey. If you sealed off the beehive in such a way that the bees couldn't leave, so then you'd never end up with any honey. So you could have argued that dvarim are b'mina nitzod, dvarim are ein b'mina nitzod. The Beis Yosef over here is saying to be miyashev, the tours, hatter, by covering up the fly, is that the reason why this is mutter is because it's only nisar d'rabbanan of tzeda, because flies are ein b'mina nitzod, and it's a psik reisha by nisar d'rabbanan, that's why it's mutter. If you look at the Ha'ara in the tour, Ha'ara Yudzayin, he notes that there seems to be a stira in terms of the Beis Yosef's view on this matter, Ayin Sham. But the Bach really jumps on this Beis Yosef, and the Bach says that this Beis Yosef who claims that bees are yesh b'mina nitzo, that bees are nisar d'oraisa, he says, it's against the Gemara. Have kishkaga yotzeis mepi ashalet mashakasav maranzal bedvarim mikru b'mina o nitzod. Sharei begufa sugya debeya delial mevuah bedvarim lav b'mina nitzod. Disa, the Gemara over there says pshita that it's aser to put the dvarim in a mitzuda. Ma'u deseima b'mina o nitzod aser shelo b'mina nitzod mutter and dvarim. Therefore, our lav amino nitzod mutter. So you might have thought that it's mutter, kamash malon. So the way the Bach reads the Gemara, and this is actually the way Rashi reads the Gemara over there, is kamash malon, that even though they're einan b'mina nitzod, still it's aser midrabanan to trap them. So if that's the correct reading of the Gemara, like Rashi, then it turns out the Gemara is mefurish against the Beis Yosef. The Gemara is telling us, black on white, that dvarim are einan b'mina nitzod. What would the Beis Yosef respond? So the Elie Rabba says, the Beis Yosef will say very simply, kamash malan of the Gemara is not that it's aser, even though it's ein b'mina nitzod. Kamash malan is that it's aser because it's yesh b'mina nitzod. In other words, because it's deoraisa, so then even though it's darshen miskavein psik reisha for nisar deoraisa, is aser, or actually, this is Rabbi Yehuda. It's chayev because it's if you're osim mitzuda, it's aser. So what turns out then is that according to the Beis Yosef reading the Gemara, and this is actually the way the Ra'ah reads the Gemara over there. The Ra'ah in his Chidushim and Beis says this explicitly, that the kamash milan of the Gemara is that devorim are b'mino nitzod, and that's turns out then that this machlokas according to Beis Yosef. It may be between Sefer Truma and the Torah, is really the machlokas between Rashi and Ra'ah. But at the very least, according to the Torah, that's matir flies, and only asers dvorim, that's because dvorim and isher d'oraisa, psik reisha and isher d'oraisa is aser, but psik reisha and isher d'rabbanan is mutter. That's the way the Beis Yosef wants to read this understanding. Now, the Bach, as we mentioned, rejects this Beis Yosef. He thinks the Beis Yosef is against the Gemara because he read the Gemara like Rashi. So what then is the pshat in the Gemara? Well, maybe the pshat is, and this is the machlokas that we're discussing between the Tur and the Sefer Truma, is the machlokas between Taisus and the Arach. You know, basically everybody takes their favorite machlokas, whether it's the Magen Avraham or the Trumas Hadeshen or the Arach and Taisus, and we shtup it into this machlokas over here. So that's what the Bach claims. In other words, this is a case of a psik reisha lo nichalei. Why? Again, what are we talking about over here? We have your teva with the flies in it, and you want to close the drawer. But what will happen if you close the drawer is that your flies will be trapped. So that's a psik reisha lo nichalei. So the Torah says, is it matar davshen miskaven? Because the Torah holds like the Aruch, psik reisha lo nichalei is matar. And why does the Sefer Truma disagree? He says this is Aser because it's a Psik Reisha, because he holds like Tosfos, Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei is Aser. So similar to the way the Beis Yosef said that they're arguing about Psik Reisha for Drabanan, the Bach said they're arguing about Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei. If you wanted to combine these two,
Rabbi,
just one sec, you could even say that maybe they're arguing about Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei for Nesu Drabanan. Tosfos holds, and Daf Kof Gimel, we mentioned it, that a psik reisha delo nichalei for nesu drabanan is mutter. And that could be their debate. So we have a lot of ways you could possibly interpret the debate here between the Torah and the Baal Truma as to whether you could, you know, close this drawer with the flies in it, according to the Torah's mutter, because Dev Shem's Kavin, even though it's a psik reisha, according to the Sefer Truma, it's aser, because it's a psik reisha. What do they argue about? Either they're arguing about psik reisha for nesed rabbanan, or psik reisha delo nichalei, or psik reisha delo nichalei for nesed rabbanan. We have various ways that we could explain their machlokas. Yes, Yoni.
Even if you say like the Elia Rabba's way of reading the Gemara in Beitza, doesn't the Gemara in Kavav in Shabbos say explicitly the imbim minunitzer is also nesed rabbanan?
Yeah. So I was wondering about that. If you take a look at the footnote over there. In Ha'ara Yudzayin in the Torah, he tries to answer that question.
I'll take another look at it.
It's an issue. It's going to come out to be the question: how do you understand the gather of the Yesod Rabbanan? So now the problem is: this is all a very nice, theoretical machlokas. But what's strange is that L'chora, the Gemara, actually makes this point. The Gemara in Be'a. Meaning to say, this whole Shaka V'Tarya is, let's say, according to the way it's presented in Shabbos. Because the way it's presented in Shabbos, the Gemara doesn't address the question of, isn't it a psik reisha? Could it be mutter from Shimon? Tosfos asks the question, and Tosfos says, well, it's not a psik reisha because you left a hole in it, like the Sefer Truma. But we could say, okay, but the Torah didn't read the Gemara that way. The Torah read the Gemara that there's no way for the bee to escape, right? So we could say that there's a machlokas, but when you look at the Gemara Beit, the Gemara itself makes this point. The Gemara says it doesn't work for Rabbi Shimon because of a psik reisha. So how do we understand that? In other words, again, the Gemara in Shabbos doesn't raise the question of psik reisha. The Gemara in Shabbos seems to be okay that it's a psik reisha libid Reb Shimon, but the Gemara in Be'ah does ask the question and say it doesn't even make sense a libid Reb Shimon. So maybe it's a machlokas in Sugyos. That's part of this machlokas. The Marsha points out that line in Be'ah is not actually part of the Gemara. Even if the Gemara asks, it argues of the Gemara asks the Shaila, what about Psik Reisha, Libid Reb Shimon? That was added by the Rishonim. And first of all, he says the proof is that it's not included in Shabbos. And he notes that clearly Tosfos didn't have that as the Girsa, because Tosfos in Be'al on the Vavam Abase asked the Kasha, how could it be Mutter Korn Reb Shimon? Isn't it Psik Reisha? Now, if you think that the Gemara asked that question, so it's funny for Tosfos to ask the same question as the Gemara. So says the Marsha, you see that wasn't in the actual Gemara. And if you look at the Kisveyad that are cited in the Ozvahadar Gemara, they point this out, that many of the Kisveyad don't have this line. So it's not a kasha from the Gemara on the tour. Anyhow, Naniach, again, we have a machlokas Rishonim between the Tur and the Mordechai, how to read the Gemara. According to Mordechai and Tosfos, the only reason why it's mutter according to Reb Shimon by the bees is because there's a little possibility of an escape route. And according to the Torah, it seems not that way. So that is one nekuda that the Torah and the Sefer Truma debate over here. The other point that they debate is that the Torah says, well, I think it's mutter for two reasons. Number one, as I said, is because it's Avshem Miskavim, seemingly even though it's a psik reisha. And then he has a second point. This is what we talked about in the first year, which is anyway, he doesn't think this is Tzeda, because since when you open up the chest, the fly is going to escape anyway. So therefore, it's not Tzeda, because you're not going to be able to chop it. It's true that you closed it off into the chest. And when it's in the chest, it seems to be trapped. But once you open it up, it's going to quickly escape. And then you will not really have access to this fly by closing it off into the chest. And that's why the Torah, that's the second reason why the Torah is matir. Now, as I said, the Beis Yosef holds both of these svaros lahakel of the Torah are wrong. The first reason to be matir, because the Darshan Miskavim is wrong because he thinks it's a psik reisha. And the second pshat, the second reason that the Torah is matir, namely that the fly will be able to escape anyway, he doesn't think is a good pshat, because nasat advarecha l'shiurim, and it's going to depend on the size. Is it going to be a chiluk? Is it a kaveris ravravi or zutri? So therefore, he doesn't like this pshat either. So what's the halacha? So when you look at the Beis Yosef seems to conclude lahachmir against the Torah. He writes that the Torah really isn't roi to disagree with the Sefer Truma. Mi yakel rosh neged Sefer Truma. You know, even though we look at the Torah as a rishon, and usually we say a rishon could argue with a rishon, but it doesn't seem like the Beis Yosef held that, at least the way it's presented in the Beis Yosef, that the Torah was at the status, the stature, to disagree with the Sefer Truma. So even though he defended the Torah's position in the end of the day, he says he shouldn't really argue with it. So if you read the Beis Yosef, you'd get the impression that the Beis Yosef, the Yosef Karo, was machmir on the Shaila. But then when you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, it sounds like he's meikel, because he does not bring down the Isser. Now, it's not explicit, but he doesn't bring down the Isser. It sounds a little bit like he was chozer. And in Sif Dalet, he's machmir by Dvorim, but again, the impression you get is that by Zvuvim, it would be mutter. So how do you explain this? So the way Rav Avadia explains this is he says, look, really what the Beis Yosef wrote, or Rav Yosef Karo wrote in the Beis Yosef, was a chumrah. Even though he said, miyak el rosh, neged sefer truma, that was a chumrah. Really, Mikra Adin, you could follow the Torah. The Beis Yosef did, in the end of the day, answer up all the kashas on the Torah's position. What he wrote in the Beis Yosef was more of a chumrah of sorts, and therefore in the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins what's the Iker Hadin. It's not that he was chozer, but rather the statement in the Beis Yosef should be seen more as a chumrah. Now, if that's true, so then what's the Beis Yosef coming out? Well, his understanding was that the Torah was matir because this is a psik reisha and iser derabanan. But that's not so pashut in light of other things that the Beis Yosef says. Perhaps only because it's a psik reisha d'lon yichalei and an iser derabanan. It's unclear exactly what the mechaber holds. One way or the other, the Ramah brings down the machlokas explicitly in Shin Tazai and again Sif Gimel. And there he distinguishes between Dvarim and Zvuvim. He says you shouldn't distinguish between Dvarim and Zvuvim, and they're both Aser, even though it's a Psik Reisha and an Iser Drabban. That's what he writes at first. Now, the Ramah makes an important addendum. The Ramah writes that, or implies at least, he says that the reason why this is Aser is because it's a small Teva. But the implication is, as the Magen Avraham notes, that if this were to be a big teva, then it would be mutter l'kulei alma. Everybody would agree this is mutter. Now, what's the difference? Why should a teva ktana be aser, but a teva gdola be mutter? So the pshat is that if it's a teva gdola, then Then there's a Maisa Tzeda, and it could be a Maisa Tzeda Midoraisa. It's not going to be Deraisa because flies are ain b'mina nitzod, but let's say they were b'mina nitzod. Then you'd have a Maisa Tzeda Midoraisa because if it's small. But if it's big, where there's it's Mechusar Tzeda, in other words, even if you were inside of it, you couldn't trap it easily. So then it's only an Isser Derabanan, and he's going to be willing to be Mako. So what's the pshat? Why is he willing to be Mako if it's only an Isser Derabanan? So the way the Prima Gadim, this is Eshel Avram Zion, and it's cited in Ishat Zion, Sivkat and Yudches, understands, more or less, is that the pshat in the Ramah is he's Mako for Psik Resha Delo Nichale Betray Derabanan. How is it trade Rabbanan? Number one is it's Ein B'mino Nitzod, right? After all, nobody traps flies because they want flies. And number two is because since it's a Tevig Dola, it's Iafshar Latovsa B'shech Ya'achas. So it's a Psik Resha, Delo Nichale, trade Rabbanan is Mutter.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Where is Rav Avadya that Rabbi just quoted a second ago?
Did I put it on the sheets?
I don't know if
it is. I double check. I think I did. So that's the way the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah understand the Ramah. So this, again, if that's the case, so then this is a very important kula, which has far-reaching ramifications. As we've noted before, there are many situations where you have a psik reisha d'loni chalei betrei b'drabanan, this would be a very important source because here we have the Ramah permitting it. If you remember when we talked about this earlier, the Chazon Ish, Samach Aleph wasn't so sure about this. He said it's not a heter barer, and we even noted that other places in the Mishnah Berurah, for example, Zion, Sifkat, and Beis, seems to be machmir for psik reisha by trade rabbanan. The dirshu over here in Siman Shin Tes Zayin note 22 addresses this issue. Maybe there's a distinction between pturim that are ptur klali because of melachas machsheves like mekalkel klachayad and tzricha legufa. In those cases, we're not makel for psik reisha by trade rabbanan. Whereas where it's a local Isser Drabanan, then we would be Mekel. If you remember, the Amordechai, Rav Willig, Simon Lamed Aleph, tried to argue for that. It's not a Pasha Yishuv, as we noted before. Some of the cases, there's one case in the Mishnah Berurah where it doesn't sound that way. It works for all the other cases very glatt. This case, again, is clearly a Ptur Prati, right? The reason why it's an Isser Drabanan over here is because Ein B'mino Nitzod. That's not a general Ptur of Melachas Machsheves, but it's a Ptur that's local to Isser Tzeda. And therefore, Trei Drabanan, Psik Resha, and certainly Psik Resha Delo Nichalei, we can be Matir based off of this Ramah. And any other time you have Trei Drabanan, Psik Resha Delo Nichalei, where it's an Isser Prati, it's a ptur prati, like over here, ein b'mino nitzod, so then it's going to be mutter. So that's this Rama. Then the Rama writes that there are those that are mako, if you were to open up the kli and it would run away. In other words, that's the opinion of the tour. So the Rama brings both opinions down. The Magen Avraham writes, we paskin l'hachmir on the shilas, we paskin like the Sefer Truma. It's going to be mutter, though, if it's a big teva, because then it's a psik reisha and a trei derabanan. But if it's a small teva, so then it's only a psik reisha chad derabanan, then we are machmir. Now, in this context, a very, very famous discussion comes up, and that is the question of psik reisha l'sha'avar, or suffik psik reisha, or the like. And this is brought up by the Taz. Taz Zivkan Gimel writes, well, let's say I don't know if there's a fly in my drawer. In other words, I have a drawer. I think I have good reason to assume that there might be a fly in this drawer, but I don't know for sure. Am I allowed to close the drawer? Assuming we're machmir, again, against the Torah, we pass in like the Sefer Truma, we're machmir and the Shaila, is this a psik resha? If there's a fly in the drawer, then it's a psik resha. Closing the drawer will certainly trap the fly. But if there's no fly in the drawer, so then it's mutter. So this is different than the normal psik resha. That's why it's called a psik resha l'sha'avar. It's a psik resha about a past event, or suffix psik resha. This is a suffix whether or not it's going to be a psik resha. What do I mean to say? The typical psik resha, let's say dragging a bench, typical davar shein miskaven. What the Taz is saying is a suffix psik resha is still considered davar shein miskaven and it's mutter. So typical davar shein miskaven is about a future event. I don't know what is going to happen in the future. In other words, I'm going to drag this bench across my backyard. That's mutter. Why? Because it may or it may not create a furrow. It's about a future event. There's something about a future event. I don't know whether it's going to do it or not. So we say, davar shein miskaven is mutter. In this case, it's about a past event. In other words, they're either or current, present event. There is a fly. Either there is a fly in this drawer or there isn't a fly in this drawer. I don't know which one it is. So from my perspective, it is not inevitable. It's not vadai that closing the drawer will create seida. And therefore the Taz says, this is mutter. It's like every davar shein miskaven. Every davar shein miskaven is mutter because you don't know if your action is going to cause a malach or not. Why is that a chiddush? And why are those, there are those that argue, we'll see that Rabbi Kiva Eger thinks that maybe the Ramah is machmir on the Shaila, because maybe the only time davar shein miskaven is mutter is when the uncertainty is about a future event. But when the uncertainty is about a current event or a past event, so then you have to be machmir. The Bir Halacha on Sif Gimel Dimaso Lachain discusses this extensively.
I'm smart enough, isn't every suffix about a future event really a suffix about a past event?
Excellent question. We'll get there in one moment. Rav Moshe asked that question. Just give me a second and we'll get there, Bli Neder. So the Bir Halacha discusses this extensively. And first of all, he notes that this debate between the poskim, we'll call it between the Taz and the Magana, the Taz and Rabbi Kiva Eger, Taz Meiko, Rabbi Kiva Eger Machmir. Again, it's not so clear that he's Machmir, but we'll just call it that way for simplicity's sake. Is only L'Oira should only be about a Deraisa Shaila. Why? Because if it's about a Derabanan Shaila, so then everybody should agree it's Mutter. Why? Because okay. Since it's a suffix, we should be able to apply the normal rule of suffix, drabban, and lahakel. In other words, if it's a deoraisa shaila, so then, maybe Kiva Eger says you have to be machmir, it's a suffix deoraisa. Closing this drawer may cause tzeda deoraisa, or may not cause tzeda deoraisa. I don't know, I have to be machmir, suffix deoraisa l'chumra. Can't be makel because of darshan miskavein, because darshan miskavein, we don't see suffix deoraisa l'chumra, because it's about a future event. But when it's about a past event, so then Rabbi Kiva Eger would say, Savik Dereis L'chom, you have to be Machmir, and the Taz would say, Devshin Eskavin, it's Mutter. But if it's about a Dereis, a Drabanan Shaila, then everybody would agree, it's Mutter. Now, who is Machmir and the Shaila? I said it's Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is in Yerodeus and Pei Zion, Sif Vav. The Rama over there has a series of Chumras. Part of the issue actually is because the Rama writes over there at the end that these are all chumras. It's not clear if they're all of them are chumras or some of them are medina. Maybe we'll talk about that in a moment. But the one of the halachos of the Rama over there is that you can't be mechata begechalim tachas kderos akum. Why? Maybe there is basa b'chalav there. We know there's an isser of bishul basa b'chalav, and I want to be mechata begechalim. I'm not interested in cooking the guy's food. I just want the fire to be hot. Let's say my food is also on the fire, or I want to warm up my house or something like that. So I'm interested in warming up my house. But maybe one of the pots on this fire, it has bas b'chalav in it. And therefore, if I'm mechat b'chalav, I'm going to be mevasha bas b'chalav. So what's the situation, basically? I over here have a scenario of a suffix. Can I stoke the coals? If there's a pot of bas b'chalav here, aser. If there's not a pot of bas b'chalav here, mutter. So this is like a suffix psik resha, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's a suffix whether or not there is bas v'chalav in one of these pots. Maybe I can't tell, but maybe it's a milchik, a pot cooking fleishik, so there's milchik blios, whatever it is. The point is that this is a classical case of a safek psik resha, and Ramah says it's aser, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. You see from here that the Ramah disagrees with the Taz. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. Now, as I said, it's not so pashut because it's not so clear that the Ramah over there says it's aser medina. It might only be aser b'taras chumra. But at the very least, Rabbi Akiva Eiger thinks that this is a raya against the Taz. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is l'shitaso in another place in Bas v'chalav, in Yerodeis, in Tzadi Beisiv base. The Rambam writes that if some milk falls onto a piece of meat in a pot full of meat, and you don't know where it fell, so what should you do? No esakadela kula. You quickly mix up the whole pot. V'yitonk feilan, and you have a guy taste it. And if there's no taste in that piece, in the whole pot, then it's mutter. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eiger over there, 1 second. How could we tell him to be menar l'chatchila? Let's say that there is basar b'chalav upon this piece that it landed. It landed on a piece. So now, and there's tam chalav, and when I go ahead and I mix it, I'm going to spread that chalav to the rest of the pot. I am going to be doing bishul basar b'chalav. And I don't know if I'm going to be doing bishul basar b'chalav. Maybe this drop of milk landed in the rotev. So I'm not going to be doing bishul basar b'chalav when I stir it. Or maybe the drop of milk landed in a piece, but there's a shishim in the piece upon which it landed. There's no tam chalav. It was already batal, but maybe there is. So if I ask myself, am I allowed to stir this pot or not? The Rambam says, I'm allowed to stir the pot. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but 1 second. This is basically a safek psik resha, because maybe by stirring the pot, you're going to go ahead and violate bishul basar b'chalav, and it should be aser. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. So as I said, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you could say it's a davashen miskaven. I'm not miskave to be mevashel basar b'chalav. I'm just trying to prevent any of the pieces becoming aser, so I could eat the pot. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger is l'shitaso over there too. He assumes that a safek psik resha is aser. Now Rav Moshe makes a very interesting ha'ara to answer out Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha, which is really the point, I think, that Gabe was asking before. Moshe is Yerodei Chelek Alef Siman Lametes. And he says, you know, this is not a safek psik resha l'sha'avar, because this is really a safek l'haba. Why? Because nobody knows. Nobody really can know. In other words, you have no idea whether or not there's chalav in one piece. And this is unknowable. So what Rav Moshe is saying is a very important point. And this is what I mean to say, that I think it answers Gabe's kasha. I think Gabe was asking that every davar shein miskaven should really be a safek psik resha. Let's take the classical case we always say of a davar shein miskaven that's mutter, the case from Shabbos, daf chattes, dragging the bench across the yard. And it's mutter, because I don't know if it's going to make a furrow or not. Kohen Reb Yehuda, it's aser. But Kohen Reb Shimon, it's mutter, because maybe it won't make a furrow. And therefore, even if it does make a furrow, it's going to be mutter, daf shem is kafi. So, asks Gabe, 1 second, if you really knew all the information that's relevant here, how soft the ground is and how heavy the bench is, and you're a physicist or an engineer and you plug it in to the appropriate equations, then, you know, we could figure this out. It's not really dependent on a future act. It's also dependent on current conditions. Now, happens to be, you have no idea how to figure this out. And maybe even nobody could knows how to figure it out, right? Even if you have an engineer, they won't be able to solve the problem. It's too much that's unknown. Can't figure out how soft the soil is and how heavy the bench is and how wide. It's unknowable to humans. But it's all based on current conditions. It's not really a suffix about the future. It's a suffix about the current condition, and yet we treat it as a darvish and miskaven. Even Rabbi Kinegar agrees that darvish and miskaven is mutter. So why isn't that a suffix psikresha, or why isn't that a psikresha l'shavar? It's all a suffix about current conditions, right? Again, what's Rabbi Kinegar's chiddush? That when you have a suffix about current conditions, that's not darvish and miskaven, and it's aser. Here we have a suffix about current conditions, and yet clearly Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Says Rav Moshe, the answer is very simple. Answer is that any time you can't know the answer to your question, so then we treat that as darvish and miskaven. Even if it's technically speaking from a scientific perspective, a suffix about current conditions and not future conditions, but since you can't know the answer to the question, so therefore, that's Darvish and Miskaven and Mutter. The machlokes between Rabbi Kinegar and the Taz is about a question that relates to current conditions whose answer is knowable. In other words, you could look inside the drawer and see if there's a fly there. You could open up all the pots of the guy and see if there's some possible challah cooking there. That's where they argue. But when it's a suffix about current conditions in the scientific sense, but for all intents and purposes, it's a suffix about future conditions because you have no idea how to solve the scientific question. So then all agree that it is mutter. And therefore, it's only in a case like the flies in the drawer that Rabbi Kiva Eger would say it's usser. That's what Rav Moshe writes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. When is that? It's mevar if there's a fly there.
You could be mevar. You look inside.
Why? The door. If you open it up, it just escapes.
The question is, you want to know if you could close the drawer, right? You want to know if you could close the teva. So you don't want to bother like sticking your head into the drawer and seeing if there's a fly there. You know that a minute or two ago there was a fly there. You don't know. Did it leave? Did it stay? Who knows? There are always flies there. Sometimes there are flies there, sometimes there aren't flies there. So, but I can figure it out. I don't want to bother. Maybe I have to take out the stuff inside the drawer and look. I'm not in the mood to do that. According to the Taz, it's still mutter. Now, I think what you're bringing up is an interesting question, which is, we said before that according to the Mishnah Brura, if it's a Issa Drabanan, everybody would be Matir, because Safik Drabanan Lakula. We know that's not so straightforward because we don't say Safik Drabanan Lakula for Efshar Levarer. When it comes to Safik Drabanan Efshar Levarer, we say Efshar Levarer Tzara Levarer. So maybe even we should be Machmir, at least if you hold like Rabbi Kibager, you should be Machmir even for Safik Drabanan because you can't say Safik Drabanan Lakula because Efshar Levarer Tzara Levarer. So I think that's a Ha'ara. It's Ara regardless of Rav Moshe's Chiddush, because L'maisa, it is something that is a fly in a drawer or a teva, something that L'chor is solvable. You can figure it out. So that's Rav Moshe's Vart. So this is basically a very fundamental question, right? The question, if we want to conceptualize it, is what's the hagdara of darvish and miskaven? Is it that the person is not miskaven, or is it that the pa'ula is uncertain or indetermined? According to the Taz, as long as the person doesn't know whether or not he's going to do a malacha by doing this act, it's mutter. And according to Jaeger, no, it's about the pa'ula. And therefore, it's only mutter if in terms of the pula. There are a number of achronim who try to say perhaps the machlokas between Taz and Kibega relates to the famous chakir about Rabbi Chanan and Ksubos about how to understand psikresha or not, which is a possibility. Though, if you take that approach, it does lead to stiras. But anyway, are there any rayos from the Rishonim to this question? Okay, right now we have it as a machlokas between Taz and Kiveger. What about Rishonim? What does Rishonim have to say about this? So there's a Gemara Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph by filling up a pot. The pot is empty and hot, and you want to put cold water into the pot. And the Gemara says seems to say at least that this is a darshan miskaven in terms of the isser of mitzarif. Mitzarif is the malacha of hardening metal when you put hot metal into cold water. And the Gemara sounds like this question is a darshan miskaven, set up sick resha. So what's the uncertainty here? So the Ramban in the Melchamo says the suffix is whether it's higiel etziruf. The Ritzvah is a similar mahalach over there. So the Bir Halach over here points out that, look, this luchar is the psik resha l'sha'avar, whether this pot was higiel etziruf or not. And still we treat it as darshan shen miskaven. So we see a raya from some Rishonim against Rabbi Kiva Eger. And it sounds like Rabbi Kiva Eger is more nota l'hakel, like the Taz, in light of the fact that we have these Rishonim that support the view of the Taz. So one of the examples where this question comes up is where a person is uncertain whether or not they left their refrigerator light on or off before Shabbos. We're going to assume for now that opening up the refrigerator and thereby turning on the light is considered a psik resha. Earlier in the year, we mentioned that there are those that argue that it's not a psik resha because this is the way in which you turn on the light, so it shouldn't be treated as a darshan miskaven psik resha. But we're going to assume now, like Rav Moshe assumes, which is that opening up the door is a psik resha, and it's a psik resha d'nichalei. So certainly, if you know that your light in your refrigerator is on, you may not open up the door, because even though you're not miskaven to turn on the light, you're only miskaven to open up the refrigerator, but it's a psik resha, and therefore it's asur. Well, what about if you don't know if the light's on or off? You don't know, I have no idea, I don't remember if I turned off the light or I didn't turn off the light before Shabbos. So if you look at Dir Shuno 25, it quotes from Shlomo Zalman Arbach, which is in Perek Yud Ha'arim and Beis, that it's mutter to open up the door because of safek psik resha. And in other words, if you follow the Taz, then it would be mutter to open up this door. Now, it doesn't necessarily help you so much because if it turns off, your light is on, so then you have to figure out what you're going to do to close the door. But at least in terms of the shaila of opening the door, then it's okay. And maybe there are eitzos in terms of closing the door, or guy or the like. Maybe we'll talk about those another time. It's not so pashut. Shlomo Zalman Orbach wonders, he says, maybe we should say there's a chazaka that you left the light on or not. But more or less, Shlomo Zalman thinks this is an example of a safek psik resha l'sha'avar that we could be matir based off of the Taz.
Wasn't Shlomo Zalman the one who said that it's kippur?
Yeah, it was. Okay. And I don't know how to figure that out yet. I have to double check. I was wondering that. Now, one other ha'ara here. If you remember when we did Gozes, we were medayik from the Rivash, and I think Rosh Achtar says a similar thing, other Rafonim, that when considering the question of Darshan Miskaven, whether something's a psik resha or not, we don't just look at the one specific act, but we look at the whole activity. So for example, if combing my hair, even though each comb might be a Darshan Miskaven, but the act of brushing my hair, let's say, typically is 10 strokes. In every 10 strokes, for sure you'll pull out one hair, so then it's considered a psik resha. If you look at the Dirshu over here, note 25, he quotes from Rav Nissen Karelitz to be mako in a case where there are ants and let's say a question of walking where you're going to step on an ant. And he says if each step is not vadai going to kill an ant, though, you know, if you walk across the street or whatever it is, walk across your room, you will vada kill an ant, it's mutter. Is that against Rav Shechter / the Rivash? So that's something that's worth looking into. There are other interesting examples that are similar to this question of Safek Psik Resha. If you remember, we talked about earlier in the year also Rav Avadia's theory that if you have a Machlokas HaPoskim, it's a Safek Psik Resha. In other words, if something is a psik resha, if I do A, B inevitably will happen. But there's a machlokas haposkim whether B is asur or mutter. So even if we're machmir on that shaila on its own, But if it's a shaila of psik resha, then we can be matur based off of suffic psik resha. So that's sort of taking the idea of the taz and taking it a giant step forward. Okay, let's turn to a question that we keep on referring to, and finally it's time to discuss. And that's the issue of the Yerushalmi and the Rashba. So Yerushalmi says that someone who closes the door of their house with a deer inside the door is similar to throwing a fishing net into the water to save a child and pulling up some fish along with the child. And what this means, according to the Rashba, this is on Daf Kufav on the base, is that it's mutter. And it's mutter even though you know you're going to catch some fish. And likewise, he says, it's mutter to close the door of your house. You want to close your door of your house because you want your door to be closed. You don't want your objects to be stolen, even though you know there's a deer here. And not only that, but even though you're also very happy to trap the deer, you also want the deer. But you're not just doing it to trap the deer. You're also doing it to protect your house from theft. Then you may close your door. That's the Rashba. The Ritva cites this Yerushalmi. He understands Yerushalmi like the Bavli, though he says that, like the Rashba, he understands Yerushalmi, but he thinks that the Bavli disagrees. Probably the Gemara in Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, that sounds like if Shagag would say that's Mutter L'Shomro, but not B'Kavana. However, the Ran, this is Lamed Ches Amud Aleph B'Dap Erif, says, no, even Yerushalmi didn't mean that. It can't be what the Yerushalmi means, because it's Pashut that it's Usher to close the door if you are miskaven for tzedes hatzvi, and even if you're not miskaven to trap the deer, it should be us or else psik resha, because inevitably you will. How does he explain Yerushalmi? He explains Yerushalmi in a somewhat difficult manner, but the point is that sometimes you do things on Shabbos with two totsos, and only the, and one totsos is mutter l'chatchila, like Hatzala Satino, because of Pikuach Nefesh. Masha'en Ken, when you close the door, the heter is only b'diaved if you didn't know the deer was there, and then you find it afterwards. But if you knew the deer was there, then certainly there would be no heter. And that's the way the Ran reads Yerushalmi. So the question is, what's the Pshat and the Rashba? The Ran's position is obviously very clear, that this would be a either Dovash Miskaven or at the very least a Psik Reisha. How in the world can we explain the Rashba? So basically, there's going to be two general mahalchim to explain the Rashba, and then within each of these general mahalchim, a couple of particular mahalchim. The general mahalchim are, is the Rashba saying a chiddush that's a local to melachas tzeda, or is he saying a broad principle that would be equally true for all melachos? So why would you assume that it's a local principle relating to Tzeda? This goes back to the very first point we said at the beginning of Melachas Tzeda, which is there are a lot of peculiarities relating to Tzeda. It seems like it's a grama, you don't touch the object, etc., etc. So those are the two basic Mahalchim. So let's start with the first source to try to explain this Rashba, and that is the Shilta Giborim, it's Oz Gimel. And he claims that the Rashba writes that even though Avagav de Kaimalan Psik Resha Asar, Hanudavka Baoso Maisa de Avid Psik Resha, Einen, Eno, Miskaven, Veno Osa Davar Hatarima, Aval, Baoso Psik Resha, Shosa, Osa Gamkein Davar Hatarima, Viskaven Gamla Davar Hatar. Az afilu avid psik reshe umechaven gam lo shari. Sounds like he's saying that an action has to be defined basically as either mutter or aser. And if this action, in this case, closing the door, is defined as mutter, then it's mutter even though it also causes a malacha at the same time. And he writes, Vani kasavti b'chidushai d'kol maisa she'efsha laso zulas apsik reshe az afilu avid oso maisa afilu b'psik reisha shari kilo miskaven lasas psik reisha. If you do an act that could be done without a psik reisha, even though I did it in a way that is a psik reisha, it's mutter because it's davar shein miskaven. V'rachti sham u'medivir rash b'siyu agadol l'dvarei kikal v'chomer heim dvarei midvarav. What the Rashba is saying is actually a much bigger chiddush, because the Rashba is saying it even when you're mechavim for the Isur activity. In other words, he says the Shilta Gemara, you know, I have a chiddush. My chiddush is actually much smaller than the Rashba. My chiddush is that any time you do something that could be done in a way that isn't a psik reisha, even though I happen to do it in a way that is a psik reisha, it's mutter. There's a Rashi in Zvachim that says a very similar idea, it seems. The Gemara in Zvachim is talking about the Isser of putting out the fire on the Mizbeach, and a person wants to sprinkle wine on the Mizbeach. So the way the Rashi sounds like he's saying is that I'm theoretically, you could sprinkle this wine in a way that won't be mechab of the Eish, like by using very, very small droplets. It's mutter, even though I happen to be using bigger droplets that are inevitably going to cause it. Because the action, namely sprinkling the wine, ziluf, could be done in a way that is mutter. So if the action could be done in a way that's mutter, even though I'm doing it in a way that can't be done without malacha, it's still mutter. That's basically the heter of the Shilta Giborim. And he's saying, well, if the Rashba saying is correct, namely you could close the door, even though you're mechavim for tzedah also, certainly what I'm saying is correct, which is you could do the action, like close the door, when you're not mechavim for the Isser. So that's the heter of the Shilta, the explanation of the Shilta Giborim for the Rashba. Clearly, the Shilta Giborim understood that this Rashba was a general kula, wasn't something that was local to tzedah, but it was applicable for all malachos. Now, the difficulty with this understanding of the Shilta Giborim is that it's very hard to reconcile this with a number of the cases of psik reisha. For example, the Gemara in the first pack of Ksubos talks about ma'u livol b'tchila b'shabes. And the Gemara assumes that initially that it should be asr, because it's a psik reisha, you'll make a chabura. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a psik reisha. You could do it without a chabura. You could do it al yedei ataya. But the point is that at least initially, without the concept of hataya, it would be asr al psik reisha. Now, according to the Shilta Giborim and the Rashba, this doesn't make a lot of sense, because bia, tashma shamita, is an activity that can be done without malacha, right? It's done all the time without malacha. I happen to be doing it in a way that inevitably causes malacha, but as an activity, it should be an activity defined as an activity that's mutter, and therefore, the fact that I happen to be doing it in a way that inevitably is going to cause malacha should still be mutter. Shouldn't be a psik reisha. So imagine that the Shilta Giborim would say, no, you have to define this activity. This is not Tashma Shamita. This is Livol Tchila. This is B'as Mitzvah. This is Tashma Shamita when it's the first time around. And that activity, in the Havamina of the Gemara, without the possibility of Hataya, couldn't be done without Malacha. Therefore, it's Aser. Now, if you learn like this Shilta Giborim, you know, we said before that the classical example that everybody always loves to cite of a psik reisha that's usher is dragging the bench across the backyard. If inevitably the dragging of the bench would cause a furrow, then it's usher. According to this Havana the Rashba, the Shilta Giborim, then l'chayrit should be mutter, even if inevitably is going to cause a furrow. So that is the first mahalich in the Rashba. The way some achronim put it is a little bit differently. The way, a little different than a Shilta Giborim, they also understand it as a more klaliistic mahalich. I gave you this. Did it just stop my recording?
Mine says it's still recording. It still has the recording thing on top.
Mine just said that it stopped.
What?
Just told me at least that it's no longer recording.
All right, maybe we let's start it again.
Maybe record on your phone now, so that I, just in case it's still working, it won't.
Okay, why don't we do that? Adam, could you do that?
Sure.
So, okay. So the way some Achronim put it is a little bit different. Again, also they learn that it's a tur klali. And I sent you this in the Makoros. I think the way they put it is that the reason why the Rashba is makel over here is because there's no inherent connection between closing the door and Seda. I could have closed the door. I would have closed the door regardless, even if there wasn't a deer here. And one can certainly close doors without causing Seda. And therefore, perhaps it's a little different than the case of the bench, because the bench cannot be dragged on this yard without making a furrow. So perhaps in the case of the bench and the furrow, there's more of an inherent connection between these two activities, such that we could say the activities become one. Whereas in the case of the closing of the door and the tzeda, they're not at all connected. In other words, if you take the Mahalich, the psik resh is usher because we view them as a single unified event due to their inseparability. So therefore we could say that in this case, there's not that inherent connection between the two, and therefore that's why the Rashba is makel. There are a number of other Mahalchim and Rashba along these lines. Take a look at footnote 55 in the Chidushi HaRashba and the Sefer Kobetz on the Rambam and others. But that's the first school of thought. We'll call it the Shilta Giborim, the school of thought that tries to argue that this kula of the Rashba is not limited to Tzeda per se, but is a general principle that would apply to all Malachos.
And Zvobin Teva. What do you say about Zvobin Teva?
What about what?
Zvobin Teva.
Zvobin what? I'm sorry.
In a Teva.
So in that case, it would be the same thing. Even if I know for sure this is Vav in the Teva, but I'm closing the Teva because I want to protect my bread from getting stale, it would be mutter, just like the deer.
The Torah and the Sevachumas are arguing on this Rashba.
Yeah, that's what we said before. We even considered that possibility in terms of understanding the Machlokas between the Sevachumas. Okay. Now, another... That's Mahalich 1, we'll call it Shilta Giborim. Mahalich 2, and this is also to try to argue that the Rashba is a general kula, is rooted in a ha'ara that the Shaar Tzion makes. If you look at the Shaar Tzion over here, Sif Katan Lamed Gimel, and Simon Shin Tes Zayin, he writes that even according to the Rashba, it's davka mutter when the Iker Kavana is to protect my house. It's just that I'm also mechavein for tzeda. But if I'm equally mechavein for both of them, then even the Rashba would agree it's aser. And if we take that type of approach, we could even argue, perhaps, that this is the Rashba and the Ran l'shitasam. If you remember, we talked about earlier in the year, the machlokas Rashba and Ran about ribui shiurim. Is ribui shiurim an iser derais or an iser drabanan? For example, let's say I am cooking for chola sheyesh bo sakana, and I make extra. The chola needs 5 ounces, and I make 10 ounces, so I could have some chicken soup as well. According to the Rashba, there's no chiyuv. According to the Ran, it's an iser deraisa. The Rashba says there's no chiyuv because my ikar kavan is for the chola. According to the Ran, since lamaisa I was mosif, I'm mechavein for shnehem, and therefore it is an iser deraisa. The Rashba over here says the same thing. If my Iker Kavana is for protecting my house, and it's mutter. And the secondary Kavana doesn't make it Chayev. So maybe that's basically what they're arguing about. And the truth is, it's a little meduyak because the Yerushalmi that the Rashba quotes is that same Yerushalmi that the Rashba and the Ran argue about in the same case in the Gemara Menachos that the Rashba and the Ran are arguing about. Now, it also would be consistent l'halacha. We paskin like the Ran, and in Hilchos Tzeda, we'll see in a moment, Mishneh Berurah, Shin Tes Zayin, Sifkan Chaf Hei. And in terms of Ribui Shiurim, also we paskin like the Ran, like the Mishneh Berurah says in Shin Yud Ches Sifkatan Yud Gimel. Now, if that's the pshat, you'll ask me, but I don't understand. Why is this different than every Psik Resha? right? Every psik resha, your ikar kavana is for the davar heter, and your secondary kavana is for the davar iser, right? I'm intending to drag the bench across the yard because I want to sit in the sun. That's my ikar kavana. So why should that be asur according to the Rashba? And it's true for every psik resha. The answer is that this is different than a psik resha, because when it comes to the psik resha, so there we have two pa'ulos that are inherently linked. And therefore, the reason why we're machmir for psik resha is because we can't look at the other, we can't ignore the other pa'ula. We can't say it's davar shenu miskaven, because the pulas heter will vada bigorim the pulas iser. The pulas heter is dragging the bench. The pulas iser is making the furrow. The pulas heter will vada bigorim the pulas iser. And therefore, I can't say you're davar shenu miskaven with respect to the pulas iser. But over here, it's only one pula. It's one thing. What is it? Shmiras habayis or tzeda. And my ikar kavana is for that which is mutter. Like the Yerushalmi says that the Rashba cites, Hayatzvi Ratz Kedarko, V'niskavim Linol Ba'ado, V'nal Ba'ado, Uve'ad Hatzvi, Mutter, Rabbi Yosef Rabun, B'shem Rab, Chuna Ratinok, Nevaveh B'nahar, V'niskavim Laloso, Ulalos Nechil Shel Dagim Imo, Mutter. Now, if you remember, this was more or less the approach that we saw Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg take in his discussion about the case of the chicken bones. Remember, there was that debate we talked about in Hilchos Bishul as to whether or not you're allowed to return the chalent to the fire Friday night if there's some chicken bones in the chalent, and the chicken bones will get softer such that right now they're inedible, but by the time lunchtime comes tomorrow, they'll have been cooked so much, they'll be soft, and you could eat the chicken bones. So do we say that's considered mevushal kol tzarko and hachzar is mutter? Or do we say, no, you're going to further cook the chicken, and it's asur? So Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg said, look, this is mutter. Like the Rashba, your ikar kavana is not to cook the chicken bones. And you're doing one thing, not two things. It's not like the case of the dragging the bench or the like. And therefore we follow your ikar kavana. This is similar, he said, to hotzah, where I'm pushing a stroller. And we say that if the kid in the stroller is not chaya, let's say because chay knows his atzmo, then I'm not chaya for the stroller either. It's batel, it's tafel. In all of Melachos Shabbos, we always say that which is secondary is batel and tafel. Secondary kavana, in terms of putting it back, putting the fire, the chalent back onto the fire. And in this case, secondary kavana for closing the door. That is the second malach.
Rebbe.
The third malach and the fourth malach are very similar to each other. And both of them are along the lines of, are along the lines of saying that Seda is unique, and the Rashba would never say this for any other malach.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't this just make this act a malacha shen tzrich legufa? Meaning, if you're just going to say that,
that's not my main act. My main kavana is my primary intent is for just to close the door and protect my house.
Okay,
every act I do is defined by the primary intent of that act. So as long as it's not two different things, then we look at which one's ikker, and we ignore the tafel. It's like bitl.
But by malacha shen etzrich legufa, you also have a kavana which is not.
No, by malacha shen etzrich legufa, I have one kavana. That's to get rid of the bad. Hotzah semeis min habayis. I don't have two kavanos. I have one kavana to hotzah of the mace, to get rid of it from my house because it smells. There's one pula with one kavana. Here we're saying when you have one pula with two kavanos, then which kavana do we look at? We look at the ikar. Okay. So Mahalach 3 and 4, as I said, are very similar to each other. Malach 3 is Reb Shimon Shkop. It's in the Chidushe Reb Shimon and Ksubas Davav of the base. Ulanias Daiti Neredarash B'machalik B'melechas Tzedel Hashem Malachos. The Melechas Choyresh HaMalacha Hu Ma Shenasa Chritz B'karka. V'chein B'netilas Neshama. V'chein B'chol Kiyah Gavna. Avol B'tzeda. En HaMalacha Ma Shetzvi Nishmar. Deharei Lo Asa Shum Shinoi B'atzvi. El HaMaisa Shoyse. Sheyia Nitzod. Zehu Melechas Tzeda. Umisham Hachi. Kishasa Ne'ilas Delas B'shvil Matara Acheres. Gam kein az ein ha ne'ila maisa tzeda. Umashu nitzod memela is ein ha tzeda. Says the Rash, the Reb Shimon, that the Rashi says is only over here because tzeda, you don't make a shino in a chefta. And therefore, since you don't make a shino in a chefta, the only reason why it's a malacha is because of the maisa tzeda. And therefore, in this case, we didn't do a maisa tzeda. You're just closing the door for some other reason, namely to protect the stuff in your house. That's not a maisa tzeda, and it's mutter. We don't have time now, but if you look, the Rav Shimon goes ahead and explains the whole Mahalach and Yerushalmi that way, based off of that. Fine. So therefore, the chritz would be a problem. Along similar lines, the Avnei Nezer, Simon Kuf Tzadi Dalad, says that tzeda is different. He doesn't say it for that reason. We saw that the Avnei Nezer, in terms of other peculiarities of tzeda, emphasize this point. Here says it a little differently. He says the pshat is that b'chora, a maisa tzeda, certainly of this sort, is basically a grama. Why? Because I don't trap the door with my hands. I don't touch the deer at all. I just close the door. And memela, the deer is trapped. It's almost like a grama. In fact, he compares it to what the Rush writes in Bava Kama. We learned this in Fort Lee by Hadke Be'anpruna. Right? You lock somebody up in their room and thereby they are not able to go to work. So that's grama and your potter. That's exactly what happens over here. The deer ran in on its own and you lock the door. That's grama. Oh, so why are you chayev? Well, grama is only chayev for tzeda when you're machavein. But if you're not machavein entirely for that, then it's mutter. Now, it happens to be that the dimyon to Hadke Bandruna is not at all pashat, because over there, it's a grama, because what was the hezek? The hezek was you caused him to miss work. And that was sort of grama. Here, the maisa was it being trapped, and that was direct. So it's not actually so comparable. And closing the door doesn't actually, it's not so obviously a grama. It's true I don't touch the animal, but that's not clear that that would be grama. But one way or the other, that's the Mahalich that he says, that this kula of the Rashba said with respect to something like tzeda, where you don't actually touch the object. Now, we mentioned before that we don't paskin like this Rashba. The Magen Avraham, Sifkat Yud Aleph, says that the Rashba is a das yachid. Rabbi Akiva Eger says you can't say like the Rashba because of what the Rama says by closing up the fly, trapping the fly, like Yossi said. The Mishnah Brura, Sifkan Chafei, also paskins like the Ran. And even though in Machane Yisrael, as noted by the Shaar Tzion, and in the Dirshu note 37, he says maybe B'shasat Chak, Gadol, you could be so Minchan the Rashba, but fundamentally, we don't accept the Rashba. So the Shaar Tzion, the Mishnah Brura writes, for example, in Sifhei, that if a Sipur drawer, Nichnas Labayis Derech HaPesach, or a Chalon, it's usher to close the door. We saw that maybe in certain shasat chak situations, like because of the cold, then you could close the door because it's a psik resha de lo nicha lebetreid rabbanan. So maybe in those cases, you could be samech on the Rashba. But under normal circumstances, you certainly cannot follow the Rashba. We don't accept the Rashba. But even though we don't normally accept the Rashba, it's a rishon. And sometimes his perspective is cited by poskim, especially when there are other sirufim lahakel. So I mentioned one example. There's a very beautiful article by Razal Nechemia Goldberg. It's in a journal called Atera Shlomo, Volume 6. Atera Shlomo for Zecher Nishmas, for Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Hishver. And he writes that one mitigating factor to allow a person to walk in front of a surveillance camera, even though they're going to be photographed, is because of the kula of the Rashba. Why? Well, let's think about it. If we understand the tour of the Rashba more clearly, like the Shiel Tzvi Gibbon, so certainly it's relevant over here. You're just walking across, you know, this walking down the street, and inevitably you are photographed, but it's just like closing the door. So certainly, according to that understanding, the Rashba would be mutter. And even if you take a narrow reading of the Rashba, like, let's say, the Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer is saying, why is the Rashba mutter? Because you don't touch the object. It's sort of happening on its own. All you're doing is walking. Well, that's certainly true over here. Where's the ksiva taking place? Inside the camera, inside the computer, whatever it is, right? I'm not touching the camera. I'm not touching the computer. I'm just walking down, walking along my merry way. So if you understand, according to the Rashba's understanding, whichever type of approach you would take, this case of the surveillance cameras, or Roshafter has a similar kula, which he thinks is correct with respect to the security lights, where again, you walk down the street and the light will turn on, but you don't touch it, you don't do anything, you're just walking down your street, that's mutter. Other posts can take this even further, and I hope we'll get back to this another time to discuss this issue, but I want to see some more things before we get back to it. So we're really taking a long time on Melechas Tzeda, and I was hoping to go on and finish today, but we still have a while to go. What are we going to do next time? So next time, the main sugya we're going to focus on is Hatzad Nachash Shelo Yishchenu. The Gemara Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph on the base, and you know, especially to focus on Shitas HaRambam. Why is Shitas HaRambam so important here? Because the Gemara on Amud Beis Shmuel says that this question of Hatzad Nachash Shelo Yishchenu is talui in the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, namely, according to Rabbi Shimon, that melachshin shichaluf is mutter. So we're make is potter. So here, for tzedus nachash, we're going to be matir sad nachash shelo yishchenu. But if you follow Rabbi Yehuda, that melachshin shichaluf is chayev. So obviously, tzedus nachash shelo yishchenu would be aser. It's a deraisa. Obviously, if there's no pikuach nefesh. Yet the Rambam paskins of Rabbi Yehuda. And at the same time, the Rambam also paskins that this is mutter, against seemingly what Shmuel says. How could the Rambam do this? We will see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I don't know, Mahalchim and the Rishonim and the Achronim on how to resolve this Rambam. Each of them very claliastic and very, very, very important. So we're going to talk about that question. We're also going to talk about the very practical questions that come up. Are you allowed to trap a mosquito? Are you allowed to trap a bee? What about if your bee is in your sukkah? Are you allowed to trap the bee? What's better, to trap the bee or to kill the bee? There are advantages and disadvantages of each one. Why are we more likely to be matir trapping than killing? If you hold like the Rambam, I understand. If you hold like we paskin and ein shrich l'gufa is anyway mutter, why should there be a difference? So we're going to talk all about these very practical questions. So try to think about the question before next year, which is under what circumstances will it be permissible to trap bees, to trap flies, to trap mosquitoes? Are mosquitoes like scorpions or mosquitoes like parush? We'll also talk about this sugya on daf kuf chaf aleph amid beis, hargo lefi tumo. That's a very, very important sugya. And we're going to discuss in that context, what in the world is this heter of hargo lefi tumo, which is applies not just to Tzeda, but also Darso Lefi Tumo. So we're going to talk about that. So Yahargo Lefi Tumo, Darso Lefi Tumo. In the context over here, we'll also talk about a very, very important question. The Magen Avraham, Shinta Zayin Sif Kam Chav Gimel, talks about Pikuach Nefesh in a situation of Echad Minei Aleph. Are there limitations for Pikuach Nefesh? If there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that situation is pikuach nefesh, should you drive to the hospital on Shabbos? That very, very relevant question is discussed here in the context of Tzeda and Simen Shin Tezayin. So we'll talk about that as well, Be'ezras Hashem. And then we're going to turn to the remarkable sugya of Shnayim Shasa'ua, which also comes up in the context of Tzeda. So we're going to do that over here. In the context of Shnayim Shasa'ua, one of the very, very important questions we're going to discuss by the Achronim and the Rishonim is whether Shneim shesu as a p'tur karbon or a p'tur, it's not even asar midaraisa at all. And this is actually a very far-reaching question. It comes up in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. If you're allowed to do an Issa d'Rabbanan, let's say a chol l'sheim bo sakana under certain circumstances, or is it better to do it al yedei shneim shesu'a, let's say if it's d'Raisa. It even comes up in the machlokas about brain death. Does it help to have two people pull the plug? That's an interesting shaila. And the final thing we're going to talk about next time, Bezras Hashem, is Tzeda on people, which comes up in Simen Shin Lamed Tes Sif Dalid. It's an interesting shaila that comes up as well. Is there or is there not Tzeda on people? So all that Bezras Hashem will do next time. But by all means, if you guys are finished in your Seder learning Meleches Tzad, so please go on to Chovel and Shochet. We're not going to have as much time for that. So move on to Chovel and Shochet if you're done. Okay.
Chazar, I have a contest for anyone who can have a five-word title to have everything covered in next year, a five-word title to have all the topics in one five-word title.
I'll tell you after Shir's over.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right. Have a Zay Gesund.
Thank you.
Okay. Shalom Aleichem.
Hello.
Welcome back, Judah and Zach and Ellie. I need a 10-second break.
And then we'll start. All right. That's very fair.
Not so fair. I don't want to keep you guys.
All right, guys. We can't fit the Torah. So someone has to say something productive.
The world is flat. I'm sorry. I panicked.
Oh, Ellie. Is anyone excited that we're going to finish Chulin?
We're finishing it? I thought we were just finishing the Perek.
Dude, we're finishing the Perek, but it's the last Perek.
Oh, really? Did you guys do the rest? Like, I haven't been here the
no,
whole year.
No, so. we did not do all their 150 daf, but
okay,
definitely made a count.
How's everyone doing? Welcome, Josh. Okay. Eitan is still here from the first year.
Rabbi, I received the rejection notice.
Huh?
Basically, I'm taking summer classes, and I applied as a visiting student to a different school, but I'm graduating YU, so I have to apply not as a visiting student, as a graduate student. So they sent me an email denying my acceptance.
Well,
it's good, Musser.
Just reapply.
Yeah, I've unfortunately also had to deal with some rejections. With some graduate schools. I still have a few more places that I'm applying to, so hopefully I'll get into one of them, but...
Ellie, yeah. I'm having you in mind, my friend.
Yeah,
you're going to make it. You're going to be the best speech therapist there is.
Well, you know, that's what I told them when I wrote the letter of recommendation. We don't get better than you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I think one of the issues... I haven't finished all my requirements. I was taking them as I was applying. So, like, you know, there are a couple of things that they said, like, how did they do in it? And it just said, like, will be the TBD. And it's been a little competitive this year. So, you know, anybody who hasn't completed everything versus somebody who has, like, obviously I'm not going to get priority.
Oh, I see.
Well,
this year, next year, it's gonna happen. You know, it's gonna happen.
All right, Chavah, shall we start?
Yeah.
Great. So we are on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amadeus. About 7 or 8 lines down in the wide lines, 4th line. Ad kama mishalsa. How far do you have to send it away? Amar Yehuda, kidei shetetze mitachas yado. What does that mean?
Rav, I don't know if you want the recording still on, but it's still on.
Whoops. Look at that.